Special episode of the podcast this week with Treasurer Jim Chalmers handing down his first budget. We take a look at what it entailed and how it potentially impacts you. Enjoy.
Everything we talk about on today's podcast is general advice only because we don't know your individual personal situation. Before you act on anything we've spoken about, you should chat to your financial advisor, and if you don't have one, feel free to reach out to us. Now, on to today's show.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Wealth Collective podcast. Pete Pennicott here, joined by my co-host as always, Zach Masters.
Hey Pete, how are you?
Feeling good. Spring is in the air, Zach.
Is it?
Now, with spring in the air, things are fresh, things are new, time for a fresh budget.
Yeah.
So last night, the Treasurer, Jim Chalmers, released the government's October 2022-23 budget.
His first budget.
Yeah. I know what you're thinking.
What?
We do budget updates in May.
Yeah. So what's happening?
Why are we doing two in 1 year? Well, I think the government felt that people are feeling the pinch a little bit. So cost of living's under pressure. So there's a chance to sort of do a bit of a reset and a refresh on some policies and move some things forward. So now I know people are dealing with, we sort of had a few things coming through on a group chat yesterday about house flooding. So inundated. House of Dragons finale. My gosh, I can't believe I've got to wait 2 years now to find out what's going to happen in terms of this war that's going to be waged. And then the men's T20. I'm like, wow.
Yeah.
What a finish on Sunday. That was 90,000 at the G.
I know. It was nuts, wasn't it?
Went down to the last couple of overs, last ball. Pretty exciting stuff. So what I'm thinking is people haven't had a chance to really absorb and appreciate the budget. So we might rip through that for them and give them the greatest hits version today. Now, key focus of this, we were sort of chatting off air. Pretty bleak outlook. Because I'm sort of more of an upbeat sort of character, I was going to throw to you to just give a little bit of a summary about what that outlook looked like. And then after we get through that somber stuff, we'll jump onto what are some of the changes.
Yeah, so it was a bit of a somber budget, not much relief in sight. So there's not going to be any stimulus or cash handouts or anything like that to help, because obviously then that'll spur on inflation. So
people are going to tune out now. So probably can sort of just have a 2 minute podcast.
Yeah, well, that's all right. It's not the most exciting budget or that we've seen for a while. So essentially what the outlook was in the budget is that they've got inflation tipped to peak at 7.75%. So
guaranteed it.
Yeah, they've guaranteed everything.
Good. Rubber stamp.
Well, the last 4 years, the budget's been completely out of whack in their forecasting. So completely inaccurate, apparently, the last years have not been even close.
It's good that they do it.
Yeah, exactly. So, we'll see how good that gets. Then that drops down to 3.75% somehow, pretty quickly in the next year. So, they haven't really explained just how it gets down so quickly.
Didn't they just send you an email and ask you to rein in your spending? And that's sort of that's a fair chunk of gross domestic product right there. So.
That's it. And then the RBA cash rate's tipped to peak at 3.35%. So we're at 2.6% at the moment. So that's potentially, you know, three more rate rises at 0.25%, is it?
I don't know. It could be one.
Yeah, it could be one.
That'd be unheard of. Don't worry about that.
My tip would be a 0.5 and a 0.25.
Okay.
Or a 0.25 and a 0.5.
Yep.
Percent, I reckon, and then trying to finish it before the end of the calendar year. So that's happening there. So that'll take, obviously, your loans up a fair bit more. Then your interest rates on your loans will go up. The big ones then that we've got are the increases to electricity and gas prices as well. So electricity tipped to be up over 50%, so 20% this year and then 30% next. And then gas prices up 20% and 20%. So everything's getting more expensive. Wages growth at around 3.75%. So in terms of your overall wealth, that would mean that most people's wealth would be dropping under this outlook. So the cost of living's up 7.75%, but your wages are growing at 3.75%. So it was a fairly bleak and somber outlook for the budget. And yeah, there's no real end in sight. So there's no handouts to help with the cost of electricity. That was the big one that a lot of people are sooking about a little bit. But obviously, the hard thing is if they start giving cash handouts, it goes exactly against what the RBA is trying to do in terms of getting inflation under control. So he's a bit between a rock and a hard place in terms of what he could have done.
Yeah, and I think like they're trying to say like the next 3 years are going to be pretty tough. So GDP not going to be what it was. So a bit of a decline. Unemployment's probably going to rise a little bit as
well. So 140,000 less jobs they're predicting by the next financial year. And I think it was somewhere I read it was the pain's the medicine we have to take to try and get this inflation under control.
Easy for him to say. Well, after that flutters attack start, Zach, thank you for that. Let's talk about some of the changes. I might kick off with superannuation. So, love super. Not a hell of a lot of tinkering around with it, which is good. So, there was some rumors swirling around. They're going to target large balances and things like that. And thankfully, they saw a little bit of wisdom to just keep it simple. So first one we've got is expanding eligibility age for downsizer contributions to 55 and over. So downsizer contributions, for people that don't know or just need a bit of a reminder. So eligible individuals can contribute up to $300,000 to super and not count towards their other contribution caps. So at the moment, the qualifying age has been reduced to 60. Yeah, so the proposal is now to bring that down to 55. So the measure's currently before the Senate, as with a lot of these, so don't go jumping out and sort of making any rash decisions. Wait till it sort of gets royal assent. But basically, that's a pretty good one. So it is, I guess, expanding what's available from a individual perspective to boost your superannuation balance and encourage people to get out of those homes, downsize, and get money back into the economy and spend it on their lifestyle.
Yeah, and as we've spoken about with this particular one, it doesn't necessarily have to be downsizing either, so you don't need to buy a cheaper property.
That's not the intention here. I think one of the things to be really careful of with this is, depending on your work situation, the money may be subject to preservation. Mm. So you got to remember, you might be able to get it in there, but if you do need it, get it out straight away. So just be really careful that sort of make sure you check your preservation age and eligibility to get that money out. Good. What do we got next?
So the superannuation guarantee increases to continue in accordance with the original timetable. So they haven't really tinkered with a huge amount of any legislation that the previous government had in place. So currently superannuation guarantees at 10.5%. It's legislated to increase by 0.5% at the start of each financial year from here until it reaches 12% on the 1st July 2025. So that's going to continue as planned.
Good. I like that. So we need more of it. We need people to have more money in retirement.
That's it.
So next up, we've got no extension to the halving of superannuation legislated minimums for pensions. So this is one where I think maybe people would actually need it at the moment to go, hey, try and preserve those balances. But it's finally come to an end. So that reduction of what people are required to take
people out of
their...
People might know that as the COVID reduction. Or...
Yeah, they've called it COVID. Well, I don't know when COVID's going to actually end. So, but it is those reductions. Basically, this is the last year you're going to get them. So basically, we'll be jumping back up to the new amounts after the 2023 financial year.
Yeah. So get prepared for that. So the minimums will be going up. So they,
People might have even forgotten what it used to be because we've been on those
minimums. I think a lot
of
people have forgotten that. They just think this is the new normal now.
Yeah. So make sure you're checking in with your accountant, your advisor, or your super fund to make sure you're taking out the required minimum because there are some consequences if you don't.
And following on from that, the self-managed super fund. So in recent federal budgets, there have been a number of announcements relating to superannuation, but the government took the opportunity to provide clarity on the progress of specific unlegislated proposals. So do you want to run us through the SMSF audit requirement as the SMSF expert here?
Oh, geez, throwing me under the bus here. So basically, the SMSF audit requirement from annual to 3 years is no longer going ahead. So basically, business as usual. They've just said, look, we think it needs to have this frequency, no changes to this one. The other one is that they are going to consider, but it's going to be delayed in terms of its implementation, will be the commencement date for SMSF residency changes. So at the moment, we've got central management and control tests rules. They're going to be, the plan is they're 2 years where you need to sort of, you can be out of Australia before you need to return and have an active member, but that's going to be extended out to 5 years. So just sit tight for people running your self-managed super funds. No changes at the moment, but that one looks like, I think common sense is going to prevail because people do move around the globe. Like the, you know, the requirement to be on Australian soil, probably a little bit outdated, but so we're sort of catching up with where the world is. We'll get there. Now you're the resident tax expert apparently, so tell me about the tax cuts.
Yeah, so this is the tax or stage three tax cuts that the previous Liberal government proposed are going to proceed as was previously outlined. So this is an interesting one because a lot of people thought that Labor might potentially alter these or change these because it largely impacts higher income earners. So what this is that the measure will go ahead in accordance with the legislative timetable from the 1st of July 2024. So the stage three tax cuts that were introduced with the previous government's personal income tax reform, this means that they'll remove the 37% income band. So essentially every dollar that you earn over the 45,000 mark to the 200,000 is going to be taxed at 30% instead of having that 32.5% and 37% income tax bands. So that'll go up to 200,000 and then anyone earning over 200,000 will be taxed at 45%. So that means that if you are a higher income earner, so anyone earning over the $200,000 mark, you're saving essentially $9,000 in tax under this new proposal. And it's a sliding scale as to how much you earn to how much you save. But I think that's an interesting one and probably will impact a lot of our listeners.
So yeah, if the most you can possibly save is $9,075 or something like that. And then, yeah, it does sort of trim down, but most of it, the biggest percentage benefit will be for middle income earners.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next up, what have we got here? So this one's, this is not a good one. This is a negative one. So they're sort of tinkering with share market buybacks.
It's all over the AFR today.
And treating off-market buybacks that a lot of retiree clients, low-income earners, were really the beneficiaries of from a franking credit boost are going to be now be treated in the same way as off-market share buybacks, which are not as tax effective for retirees. So we don't get that same kicker. So they're going to be aligned. Yeah, to sort of watch this space. So the good news is, I guess in previous financial years, a lot of the big ASX listed companies took the opportunity to sort of purge a lot of their franking credit benefits that they had on the balance sheet. So, but going forward, yeah, it'll be interesting to see how companies manage returning capital to shareholders because, the older the free kicker from a off-market buyback is gone. So yeah, we'll wait and see what this looks like exactly. But I think they've this one's definitely a big negative. I'm bringing back the somber tones of what you were talking about before.
All right, let's get a positive in there. So they've got an electric car discount. So the government will cut taxes on electric cars so that they'll be affordable for more Australians. So from 1st of July 2022, the measure will exempt battery, hydrogen, fuel cell and plug-in hybrid electric cars from the fringe benefits tax and import tariffs if they have a first retail price below the luxury car tax threshold for fuel-efficient cars, which was is $84,916 in this financial year. Just got to note with this one that the car must not have been held or used before the 1st of July 2022, so it needs to be a new car. So for all the electric car enthusiasts out there, that's a nice little one.
There's a few out there. I was sort of having a look and going, how many cars are actually under this level?
Yeah, you're not going to get a Tesla. So you've seen a lot of Teslas out there, but they're not going to fall under that category.
Yeah, I saw a little Lexus UX 300e I think they've deliberately priced it under there, $74,000. So yeah, go figure. But interesting. So there is that sort of movement there. Social Security. This one's good. Like I think freezing deeming rates until 2024. So government's recommitted to freezing the current deeming rates that are calculated on financial assets until 30th of June 2024. So at the moment, what they are is the lower deeming rate for any amounts under 56,400 for singles and 93,600 for couples is 0.25%. And then the upper deeming rate for amounts over that is 2.25%. So they're going to be frozen, which I think, given interest rates are on the rise,
yeah,
you're going to be able to earn on your term deposits, cash sitting there. I think that's a nice win and sort of reflects, you know, giving people that need a little bit of a buffer and a boost. That's a good one. So, yeah, very, very good news, common sense approach, but sort of we'll see what it, yeah, I'm intrigued at what it'll reset at, like where cash rates will be in 2024. So did you want to have a guess now? We'll replay this one.
No, we won't. I won't go.
I'm going to go deeming rates, 2.75%.
2.7? Well, I'll go 3.
All right. Well, it's not leaving me a lot of buffer there, but okay.
Another change in the social security space is the changes to the Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card income thresholds. So the government recommitted to increasing the income threshold for the healthcare card from $61,284 to $90,000 for singles and from $98,054 to $144,000 for couples and from $122,568 to $180,000 for couples that are separated by illness, respite care, or prison in there as well.
Yeah, that's good. That yeah, well, it's important.
So what this means is essentially that more people will be eligible to get this healthcare card. So the healthcare card's income tested, so not asset tested. So a lot of people that, especially if the deeming rates are staying the same for the meantime, then a lot more people will be eligible to get this healthcare card, and you don't need to be no longer eligible for the age pension from the income test.
Yeah, well, this is obviously a different one. So this is the Commonwealth Seniors Healthcare Card for those out there. And the estimate is that Labor's put forward is about 50,000 people are going to, that previously weren't qualifying and now going to qualify. So not quite our listener base, but, you know, 50,000 people is nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, definitely. What have we got next?
So home sale proceeds exemption. So the government's recommitted to extending the exemption period in regards to proceeds from selling your main home, so your principal place of residence, to build or buy another home. So the assets tax exemption is going to be extended from 12 months to 24 months. Yeah, in certain circumstances, you can apply for some relief beyond that. And then also the other one relating to deeming, which we're just speaking about, is these amounts are going to be calculated only at the lower deeming rate, currently that 25 basis points, and not impact the calculation of any other financial assets you've got. So it is really good. So people can sort of take the time to find the right home, not sort of rush into it thinking they've got sort of this ticking time bomb of losing the age pension or impacting their Centrelink benefits. So that's an important one. So obviously it doesn't count from an assets test perspective, but it does count from an income test perspective. So that deeming calculation is very, very important. If you're not sure about this one, or you're just not sort of sure how to calculate it, have a chat to your advisor, pop into Centrelink, one of those two things, and sort of that'll give you a little bit more clarity. Expected to kick off from 1st of January, 2023.
Very good. So temporary increase to pension or work bonus income bank. So the government's providing an immediate one-off increase to an eligible pensioner's work bonus income bank of $4,000 during 2022-23 financial year. This will increase the maximum unused income bank from $11,800 from $7,800 and allow pensioners to work more hours without affecting their pension. So this was a big thing that a lot of the previous government was talking about as well, and one that Labor are pushing is that potentially pensioners should be able to work a little bit more and still be getting benefits. And
yeah, and it is temporary. Mm. So this comes back and reduces next July, 1st of July, 2023. But yeah, it's interesting. So it sort of pops up the opportunity for people that weren't able to work to maybe do a consulting gig or do some sort of work for a quarter or something like that and not have any impact on their age pension entitlements, which is or sort of Centrelink benefits, which is really, really good. So that one, there's some nuances with that, but basically the calculations will be done for you.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, does open the door to getting a little bit more income in the pocket, which is the whole point of it, isn't it? So,
that's it.
Speaking of more income in the pocket, for those that are on medications, the government's you know, providing some funding to decrease the general patient co-payment for treatments on the PBS, so pharmaceutical benefit scheme, from $42.50 to $30. And this is going to kick in as of 1st of January 2023. So existing Medicare safety net provisions and all prescriptions that currently count towards a patient's safety net will continue to do so. So this one, you know, it's going to, you know, it's going to make a difference to people that need it. Medication is one of those essential things that you just can't, you know, say, oh, okay, I'm not going to take my medication.
Yeah.
So it's not one of the things you can wind back on. Yeah, well, probably not advisable. So when this does not constitute medical advice. So yeah, that's a little one that'll sort of flow through, and sort of people will see that flow through automatically next year.
Yeah. The big one that they started or kicked off the budget speech with was the plan to deliver cheaper childcare. So the government will provide $4.7 billion over 4 years from 2022-23 to deliver cheaper childcare, easing the cost of living for families and reducing barriers to greater workforce participation. A lot of the things in the budget were around women and trying to get women back participating in the workforce sooner as well. But it also impacts fathers in this one too. So
just parents.
Parents in general, yeah.
Whatever you identify. Whatever,
yeah. So increase the maximum childcare subsidy rate from 85% to 90% for families for the first child in care, and increase the childcare subsidy rate for all families earning less than $530,000 in household income. Maintain current higher childcare subsidy rates for families with multiple children aged 5 or under in childcare, with the higher CCS rates to cease 26 weeks after the older child's last session of care or when the child turns 6 years old. And it improves the transparency of the childcare sector by requiring large providers to publicly report CCS-related revenue and profits.
Very important. So, yeah, because it might be just banking it. So anyway, it doesn't always flow through to everyone. So this is great. I think this is a fantastic initiative. We need more of it. Families are doing it tough. It's the old surviving off one income is really not a great solution for a lot of families.
It is meaning that, you know, some a lot of skilled workers are potentially sitting out of the workforce due to the cost of childcare or...
Yeah, and hopefully just it improves it for families of whatever shape and size they are. So and it's going to cover most Australian families. So the other one is boosting parental leave and flexibility on how to do this as well. So, you know, there's going to be reforms coming in from 1st of July 2023 that just make the paid parental leave scheme a little bit more flexible so that either parent can access the payment. And that includes sort of both birth parents. Non-birth parents are able to do it under certain circumstances. So check the eligibility criteria there. And then you can also concurrently claim it. So, you know, you can do it sort of mix and match and not do it in sort of straight lines. So you don't need to take it all at once, which I think is really good because having brought children into the world, it's chaos. Like you don't know when you need the extra sort of time off or when you might have access to other support network and when you might not. So I think... having this flexibility is a really good thing. So, and sort of the sole parents will be able to claim the full 26 weeks as well. So, sort of what we're hearing loud and clear is going families, getting back into the workforce and just sort of supporting that is a major priority for the current government. So,
yeah,
I think like that's it in a nutshell, like more money going towards aged care, there's a few other things, but I think from a financial planning perspective.
Well, the only other ones that the new housing accord, which I thought was interesting, is the discussion around with the industry super funds around funding a lot of that. So is this the start of governments potentially just using superannuation monies for their benefit as well to try and get a few of their things across the line?
It's
a
very cynical view, Zach.
I reckon it could be the start.
Well,
starting to tinker with this and starting to use a bit of those funds for their own projects as well.
Yeah, well, let's see. We'll wait and see. You know, anything where they're tinkering with super, raiding the piggy bank, that doesn't completely align with the retirement objectives. I think, yeah, a lot of scrutiny needs to be placed on it, but we'll reserve judgment.
For first homeowners and people that are looking in the market, there is a plan to get a lot more housing out there.
Yeah, I just don't know. I don't know if this is the solution. We won't sort of go down this rabbit hole just today.
Build more and let investors keep purchasing them. Or
yeah, it's all like, you know, the cynic and the maybe thinking we're trying to get people out of older Australians out of their homes so we can knock them down and build affordable housing. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know, if we need to widen the streets where I live, if that's going to be the case. So, too high density, I think. So we'll see.
That's it. So is there anything else you'd leave listeners with? Or
happy budget, you know, October budget. I had to sort of make mini that
budget?
Distinction.
So. It was a mini budget.
Was it? Oh,
it's a mini budget.
It's his first. You can't call his first a mini. It's always a big one, your first. Yeah. So, yeah, let's see how this all plays out. If you've got any questions, you're not sure how this might impact you, definitely have a chat to your advisor. Or if you've got any questions for us, feel free to reach out to connect@picada.com.au. Until next week.
Cheers.